Welcome to Evolutions Per Minute. I am your host, Dan Seif, and this is the podcast that explores the connection between hip-hop and jazz. These two art forms, created by Black American artists, share a lot of the same DNA, but the stories of how they're connected haven't really been told. So many hip-hop songs sample jazz records, and in most cases, the jazz and hip-hop artists have never even met. Each episode of Evolutions Per Minute, I will bring together these jazz and hip-hop artists for the very first time to talk about these two styles and learn about how these genres are related. This is Evolutions Per Minute. On this episode of Evolutions Per Minute, the members of the hip-hop group Diggable Planets will speak for the very first time to saxophone legend Bobby Watson, who played sax on the track that was sampled for their hit, Rebirth of Slick.
It's such an honor to hear your story, hear your voice, you know. It's really a blessing.
We definitely have to connect with you, man. It would be dope to get you and the surviving members to come and rock a show with us, man.
If that could happen, that would be wonderful.
In 1992, the hip-hop group Diggable Planets released the song Rebirth of Slick, Cool Like That.
We like the breeze float straight out of our lids. Them, they got boo bodies, hard rock Brooklyn kids. Us, floor rush when they DJ booming classics. You dig the crew on the fattest hip-hop record. Tucks the kinks and sinks into the sounds. She frequents deep, fatter joints called undergrounds. Our funk zooms like you hit the Mary Jane. They flock to booms, man, boogie had to change. Who freaks the clips with mad amount percussion? Where kinky hair goes to unthought of dimensions? Why's it so fly? Cause hip-hop kept some drama. When Butterfly rocked the light blue suede Pumas. What about a cut? We push it off the corner. How was the buzz?
This song is one of the clearest examples of hip-hop sampling jazz, and really putting jazz in the spotlight because of the way the music is used on the song. The song starts with a clear, upright bass part with walking bass, something that usually only exists in jazz. The song went on to become a worldwide hit and win a Grammy in 1993. Diggable Planets, the group that included MCs Ishmael, Butterfly Butler, Craig Doodlebug Irving, and Mariana Ladybug Mecca Vieira, was one of the first groups to use jazz imagery in their videos and make references to jazz artists in their songs. Rebirth of Slick samples Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers' Stretching. Art Blakey was one of the all-time great jazz drummers and leader of the Jazz Messengers, a group that existed from the 50s until the 90s when Art Blakey passed away. And what he would do was get together the greatest young jazz musicians of that period and put them together in the band. After a few years, they'd graduate out of the group and become leaders in their own right, and he'd get the next crop of young jazz artists. People that were in his band were Wynton Marsalis, Branford Marsalis, Wayne Shorter, Freddie Hubbard, Lee Morgan, Terrence Blanchard, Cedar Walton. These are all legendary jazz artists that got their start in Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. The version of the Jazz Messengers that recorded Stretching had this incredible alto saxophonist named Bobby Watson. And Bobby is an amazing artist who's got dozens of his own records and has played on dozens of other records. And for this episode of Evolutions Per Minute, I was able to get Bobby and all three members of Diggable Planets to come together and talk about the music and how these two songs are related. So my first question is to Bobby Watson. What do you remember about the song Stretching?
The late James Williams, our pianist with the Jazz Messengers at the time, he wrote this song called Stretching, which is, it was a basic kind of a blues piece, but it was up. You know, it had a lot more going. You know, like that. And, you know, Valerie Ponomaroff, and I think it was David Schnitter, Dennis Irwin on bass, and the Art on drums. Yeah, but it was an up-tempo tune, you know?
Mm-hmm. And do you remember anything about recording it specifically?
I remember that was when we recorded Stretching. We had been on tour with Art Blakey, and I believe the record was called Reflections in Blue. And we had been on tour, and we had been playing that song. It was part of our set list. And so when we went in to record it, it was just like, boom, you know, one take. You know, most of the stuff we did with Art was one take. We really never rehearsed in particular for a record date because we were always playing and mm-hmm. we would always rehearse on a day off or something. That was part of my duties as the musical director. We'd call rehearsal during the day in a club. Mm-hmm. So it went down pretty easily, you know, and it was a great tune. You know, James and I were doing a lot of writing then. Uh-huh. And Art always encouraged that. So it was, you know, another day at the office, you know.
And anything else you remember about playing with Blakey at that time, being in the Jazz Messengers, any of that?
Art, he was more of an activist and a historian than people realize. We opened every set when I first got in the band with Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Oh, wow.
The Black National Anthem. Uh-huh. And he was making a statement by having us wearing overalls.
Hmm.
And he said that when we're on stage with our overalls on and our instruments, we're beautiful.
Hmm.
But if we was to walk up to a white woman on the streets, dressed the same, she would probably accuse us of some type of thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, He made his social statements, you know, through his music. He would never get up on a soapbox. Mm. We were the overall band, and we used to buy slick shirts and ties to try to, and some slick shoes, and we would get different colors. I had green, beige, light blue, dark blue. We had all kinds of different colors, you know, and then the standard jeans. You know, but it took James about 2 years before he broke down and bought a pair of overalls, you know,
right.
Because of the stigma, him coming from the South.
Mm. Okay, so I'd like to ask the members of Diggable Planets now to give the background of the making of Rebirth of Slick.
Well, started off, I was in this group called the Dread Poets Society based out of Philadelphia. And at the time, we had a song called Skin Treatment, and it utilized that sample.
Oh, wow.
Stretching. And around this time, I met this cat. I already knew her from my days living in D.C. Then I eventually met him. And when I met him, we started talking about music, and I let him hear what I was working on. He let me hear stuff he was working on, which was the skeleton of... Diggable Planets demo. He had already been working on it for a minute.
Okay.
And he heard the Skin Treatment song. I was like, yo, that's dope. When he asked me to be a part of the project he was working on, he said, would it be possible we took that sample? I mean, he was being mad cool because you could have just found the record and just took it anyway. But he was being mad respectful. And I was like, yeah. So I talked to the group. Everybody was cool at the time. And we took the sample and he added his flavors to it and it became the song that you hear today.
So who was the person that found that Blakey record to start with, you know?
My man Bun.
Okay.
He found the record and we were all sitting around in West Philly and we went to the house and he played the record.
Okay.
Smoking, sipping on stuff, smoking and sipping, you know what I'm saying? And playing it and we were like, damn, that shit is hot.
Wow.
And then eventually started adding some drums and stuff to it and then it became our little demo. He heard it.
Okay.
And it became what you hear.
Yeah. And are the three of you jazz? Well, actually, let's just go down the line. Like, what's your relationship to jazz? Did you grow up listening to it?
Okay, so my relationship to jazz starts with my parents, who are from Brazil, and they are musicians, guitar, keys, vocals. So my introduction to jazz was Brazilian jazz.
Wow.
And then, as a youngling, my father helped me set up an elaborate radio setup in my bedroom. And I would study the radio from the left end of the dial to the right.
Wow.
And I discovered, you know, American jazz that way and grew a love for American jazz that way.
Wow.
So that's my story.
Okay, cool. Ishmael?
My father and mother loved jazz, and then I played in the classical band and jazz band in junior high school for alto saxophone.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. And was Art Blakey someone that you, the three of you all knew his music, or you discovered it through the...
Definitely I heard of Art Blakey, okay, for sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then this song is... must be a big part of the three of your lives. I mean, it's had a huge impact on your lives.
Yeah, it was funny because we had another song that we thought was going to be the lead single, and we couldn't clear the sample. It was a George Duke sample, and it was like we had basically bet the farm on that song.
Oh,
and
wow.
When we couldn't clear the sample, we kind of needed a new single.
Wow.
And that's when we, you know, had the idea, or I had the idea of asking to use that loop, because I really liked the way Bun had, you know, did that song. He was dope at producing. You know, he produced a lot of dope songs. But when I heard it, I had an idea for it, and I knew that I could flip it in a cool way. And that's when we kind of, like, in the last minute of recording the album, recorded that song, and basically, you know, ended up being our biggest joint.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the song from the George Duke, has that ever been heard by anyone? No. Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
Nah, it was called Reach For It.
Oh, wow.
And had a stupid keyboard bass line on it that was just nuts. But it cost, like, back then you could pay, like, anywhere between $1,000. The high end on a sample would be, like, you know, maybe $2,500. Mm. But they wanted, like, $4,000, $5,000. Wow. And the label was just like, nah, we not paying that.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So we had to shelf that record and come up with another plan, which... as fate would have it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing. So do you guys have any other questions for Bobby Watson?
It's such an honor to hear your story, hear your voice, you know. It's really a blessing.
And Bobby, who is still with us from that version of the Jazz Messengers?
The people from the original group that are still with us from the Jazz Messengers.
Mm-hmm.
That is... just the front line. Valerie Ponomarev on trumpet, Dave Schnitter on the tenor saxophone, and yours truly, Bobby. You know, the rest of the band, the whole rhythm section has passed on to higher glory.
We definitely have to connect with you, man. It would be dope to get you and the surviving members to come and rock a show with us, man.
If that could happen, that would be wonderful. And, you know, especially to get the front line back together with me and David and Valerie. Mm-hmm. You know, to do something in that context. I mean, I know they get just a bigger kick out of it as I would, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, like I said, we keep living, we get older. And a lot of times I'm only reminded about my age when I walk in front of a mirror. Mm-hmm. Or when my hip goes, or, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but my mind, the mind is still like wants to be vital and, you know, and we're not settled. We want to be involved.
And that's the story of how Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers' Stretchin' became Diggable Planet's Rebirth of Slick. To find out what's going on with the guests from this episode, you can follow Bobby Watson on his website at bobbywatson.com or on Instagram at bobby.watson.4. You can follow Diggable Planets on Instagram at PlanetsDiggable and the individual members at Official Doodlebug, Ladybug Mecca, and Shabazz Palaces. You've been listening to Evolutions Per Minute. I'm your host, Dan Seif. Tune in for more episodes of this podcast, and don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Evolutions Per Minute is produced by Stephen Ray, Christian Brune, DJ Khalil, and Autovita Studios, and edited by Sean Hettner. If you like this podcast, you can hear me every week on my radio show, Excursions Radio, on KJazz 88.1 FM in Los Angeles, where I play hip-hop and jazz. You can also stream the show anywhere in the world at kkjz.org. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Evolutions Per Minute, and you can follow me on Instagram at Chief Seif. We'll be right back.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.